Blair Kamen, the Pulitzer Prize winner, the former Chicago Tribune architecture critic, has a new book out. It's Architecture, Equity, and the Public Realm in Chicago. That's the subtitle. The title is Who is the City For? And Lee Bay's beautiful photograph of the city in black and white with the bean reflecting it upward is on the cover of what is a must-have for people that love this city. Welcome back.
John, it's so great to see you again. It really is.
You look trim and fit, my friend. Not that you didn't always, but how have you been occupying yourself since we used to read you more regularly in the Trib?
Well, I've been working on this book, and I've been doing triathlons and 5Ks, lost a little weight. So it's been great to experience the Chicago lakefront as a swimmer, biker, and runner, as well as a journalist.
And maybe when you do not have to think, oh, I've noticed something, I need to make a mental note about it and write about it and dissect it. Or do you miss that component on a daily basis?
I miss it. I mean, even walking around this morning, I noticed new buildings that I would have reviewed or new trends that I would have, you know, written a trend piece about. Chicago's always a fascinating city. And so, you know, I can't come down here without, usually my family kids around, like when we drive as a family, it's kind of a dangerous because I'm kind of always rubbernecking and looking at the, you know, the Wrigley building over there, the Trump sign over there, giving it the finger. Oh no, sorry, can't say that on the radio.
The first two chapters of your book are one about the Trump Tower and that beautiful building with that sign. And then you also, though, to be fair, wrote, I think fairly, about the Obama Center on the south side, further south anyway. You know, the one thing I don't like about the Obama plan right now is that obelisk-like main building.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an obelisk. It looks featureless. What's your take on that?
I think it's improved quite a bit since the initial design, which was obelisk-like, unwelcoming, stark. The big question is, how that tower is going to work or not in Jackson Park. I think there's a chance that it may surprise people. Having seen the African American Museum on the Mall in Washington, D.C., when you rise up through a building like that and look out over the expanse of the Mall, as you're going to look out over the lakefront, the U of C, downtown, the experience of that building may turn out to be very persuasive. But
yeah.
Again, until it's done and open, and that's in 2025, we won't really know.
You wrote about some of the controversies about its location, its funding, its vision. I always thought when I drove through that area that while there was a lot of green space that we're losing, it wasn't well maintained and wasn't always used that well. And if we eliminate some of the road, you also said you're going to get some green space where the road went. In general, how do you score that?
I think the plan itself at ground level is, big thumbs up. Having a road cut through the middle of Jackson Park, which is what happened in the 50s, I believe, was not a good move for the park. I mean, this is what we eliminated when we built the museum campus by moving Lakeshore Drive west of Soldier Field. So in a sense, the Obama Center creates a kind of museum campus south, because you're going to have the Science and Industry Museum, the Obama Center, you know, together. And
they almost touch at the corners, don't they?
Well, they're not quite that close, but they're close. Yeah.
Like a block down and over, essentially, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was down there last week. I mean, there are three big construction cranes at the Obama Center site. It's happening.
Why is the title of your book, Who is the City For? I've never thought of a question like that. What are you talking about and what's the answer?
Well, I'll give you that in about five words or less. I'm just kidding.
I know. We've only got so much time, but the city's for everybody.
Right. Well, ideally the city is for everybody, but the way Chicago has worked or not worked, it hasn't been for everybody. One of the key issues in the book has to do with the concept of equity. And I define equity as being fair treatment for neighborhoods that have traditionally gotten the short end of the stick, number one. But also, I use equity in terms of the financial meaning of the word, as in equities or stocks, because we talk about equities as in shares of stock, and architecture in the public realm create an environment that we all share. It's the Riverwalk in downtown Chicago. It's the lakefront. It's the streets, the sidewalks of the city, and all those things contribute or don't to the quality of life.
So if the Chicago massive architecture were a bank account, the Riverwalk has appreciated the overall value.
Without a doubt.
The Soldier Field renovation depreciated the overall value.
Yeah, and I think certainly as an object it did. I mean, there were... The Soldier Field renovation improved the surroundings of the stadium because now you have a stadium largely surrounded by parkland rather than parking lots. So, you know, there were some pluses with that, but clearly the Soldier Field renovation did not look forward in the sense that you've got, you know, the third largest market in the NFL with the smallest stadium in the NFL, and it's, you know, some 20 years after it's built, it's outdated, which is why the Bears are looking to move to Arlington Heights.
Yeah, is it too late to fix that? Do they have to go to Arlington Heights? Should they go to Arlington Heights?
I think they will. It's all about the money. And that's where they can make more of it than they can in Chicago.
Do you think a casino, as it is projected, will add to the equity of Chicago?
Well, this is where, you know, the question, who is the city for, really comes alive. You're going to build a... The city has approved the construction of a casino on the former Tribune printing plant site along the North Branch of the Chicago River. So the question is that building an inward-turning Las Vegas-style casino that doesn't contribute much to its surrounding? Or does it do something for the riverfront? Does it create a beautiful river walk?
There's nothing going on there right now except a boat launch or two. I mean, there is some living space there, but it's not a well-developed or used area.
No, well, the Tribune printing plant is really a legacy of an era when the river was considered an industrial highway and even a sewer. Now we have a completely different concept of the river. And I should mention that Carol Ross Barney, the Chicago architect, who was a key designer of the Riverwalk, just won the American Institute of Architects Gold Medal, which is the highest individual honor that an architect can be rewarded from the American Institute of Architects. So, you know, the spaces here are of national significance.
Blair Kamen, you may recognize the voice if you're just joining us. You used to hear him a lot on this radio station, and we've all read him over the years. His latest book is Who is the City For? And it's not only a collection of some of his writing in the past, but updated articles and beautiful pictures by Lee Bay. And I wanted to ask you about some of the other buildings and spots in the city. If you've got a question or comment, 312-981-7200. Blair Kamen's latest book, a compilation of some of his previous writing, is called Who is the City For? Architecture Equity and the Public Realm in Chicago. It's a nice, kind of heavy. The stock on this... The paper alone. I didn't know they made books like this anymore.
Well, it's got glossy paper. And the whole idea there was to have a great paper stock that would show off the photographs of my colleague Lee Bay, the Chicago Sun-Times architecture critic. And his photographs are terrific. And the paper really does that. So it shows them off beautifully. So even though it's a 300-page book, not a doorstop, it's got some heft to it.
We're right next to the St. Regis. I don't know why they called it that. Vista seemed to be a better name for me. Jeannie Gang's building, kind of a companion to the Aqua over here. How do you score that? I read your piece, and you scored favorably with one maybe caveat, right?
Right. I scored it favorably. This is the three-stalked greenish-blue high-rise along East Wacker Drive, and it's got this kind of wavy profile, as you say. It seems to curve in and out as it rises. It's a very handsome building, striking object on the skyline. It also, even though it's a building for the top 1%, it contributes something to ground level. It creates a connection between the Riverwalk and the park at Lakeshore East, kind of hidden gem of a park. And, the only thing I'm not so happy about with that building is the so-called blow-through floor high up, which looks like it's an empty floor. And essentially, it had to be put in for engineering reasons to allow the wind to shoot through the building. If it hadn't been put in and it had just been occupied floors, there would have been uncomfortable oscillation in the apartments in the building. And when you're spending a million and up, you don't want there to be white caps in your toilets.
I mean, you would have felt it. You would have noticed it up there, right?
You would have, yeah.
And people in the Sears and Hancock building, colleagues of ours who've worked in the traffic centers up there, have felt that in the past.
Absolutely, well. Yeah. It happens with tall buildings, and this is a new trend where, you know, they have these blow-through floors. This is the first one in Chicago. I'm not a huge fan of it in terms of the way the building looks, but I think it's a minor flaw, not something that's a mortal sin, as it were.
I wonder what the spire would have looked like just a little bit north of there if that had ever gone through. Calatrava.
Santiago Calatrava, who did the Milwaukee Art Museum edition. Well, it would have been a striking, corkscrewing, 2,000-foot-tall presence on the skyline, but right now it's a giant hole in the ground, and it's been that way. There's a plan to put two towers up there, and to complete the Riverwalk and build DuSable Park east of Lakeshore Drive, and none of it's happening right now.
In fact, you say that whole area, River East, is that what we're talking about?
It's the area that's between Navy Pier and Michigan Avenue. City Front Center was the name of the development in the 1980s.
And what's happened to that area?
Well, it's a commercial success. Certainly, there are a lot of high rises there. But as a part of the city, it definitely gets thumbs down. The whole idea there was to avoid the urban planning mistakes of Illinois Center, the development that we're in right now, which Illinois Center was a series of closely spaced modernist high rises by Mies van der Rohe and his followers. Very little good public space in between. City Front Center, on the other hand, was a postmodern development. It was supposed to have all these great open spaces connecting it, like the Riverwalk and other parks and plazas. Developers got to build more density as a result of the great open spaces that they promised, and they never delivered in terms of quality. The Riverwalk is unfinished. DuSable Park, 40 years later, is still unbuilt. The towers are largely mediocre. The public spaces are disconnected and disjointed. It's not, as you can tell, I'm not a fan.
We think of Chicago as one of the great architecture cities of the world, the home of the skyscraper, and it is. But when you talk about the equity, not just the racial equity, are we doing enough to provide amenities to the south and west side? But is the equity, the value of Chicago's architecture sufficiently appreciating? And you think this is a troubled time, that we're not doing such a great job with these public spaces, with the opportunity, right?
Well, I think it's a mixed story. I mean, there have been some wonderful public spaces built in the last 10 years. Maggie Daly Park, the Riverwalk, the Nature Boardwalk at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Which is a Jeannie Gang production.
Right. And also, you know, she did some very handsome boathouses along the Chicago River. The problem is that most of these developments are on the north side or in affluent areas. And even the one that was built on the northwest side, the 606, had a kind of boomerang effect where it encouraged gentrification and forced out many of the people who it was supposed to benefit. The big project right now, John, in terms of the shared environment, is the extension of the Red Line. This is a proposed extension of the CTA's Red Line south of 95th Street, another 5 miles or so. And there's been controversy about paying for it. But if the city truly wants to create equity and eliminate transit deserts on the south side, this is a must project. And it's one that, you know, the mayor is backing, Mayor Lightfoot, and it just, both editorial boards back it. It just has to get built.
And we're out of time, but if you said name one project that the city really needs to do right, more than Lincoln Yards, more than a football stadium, it's the Red Line, huh?
Absolutely. There's no competition. It's the most important project in terms of equity right now.
Well, why don't you come on our show more often, Blair? Why don't I invite you more often?
Hey, anytime. I'll ride my bike right here, parked downstairs, and we, you know, happy to come in anytime.
Meantime, for Christmas, if you know someone that loves reading or the city or both, who is the city for? Photographs by Lee Bay. It's Blair Kamen's collection of articles and updates and commentary on them since they first appeared. And it's a real treasure, as are you. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you so much, John. You're the treasure. I'm just happy to see you again.